Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. I hope your Christmas week is going well. The holidays are treating you to an extra measure of good cheer. This is a beautiful season, and not just because of the gifts and the feasting. This is the time we all try to be on our best behavior. As a headline in the Muncie Star Press put it this week, Christmas is a time to serve others. You knew that already. We get into the spirit. People reach out through their workplaces and churches. Homeless shelters receive extra contributions of all kinds this time of year. And at places like the Muncie Mission, places where spirits are tested every day, this is a very special week. We stopped by for a visit with Ray Raines, executive director and pastor. Do you see any instances of extra effort this time of year?
Of course, Christmas time is special, and we started a number of years ago to make Christmas special around here. We try to do the decorations, the lights, and we try to make it a comfortable, homey time around here, not so much institutional.
Describe your waiting area out there right now.
Right. And that's part of what has developed.
There are presents, wrapped presents around.
All the facilities here that we've done and moved into, and we started what we called a wish list for guys. And they can write down three items that they would perhaps like to get. And so and then we gave those to individuals and churches, and now we have people calling in here in October. They want names. And usually we get more names or more people wanting to give things than names of fellows that are here. And so not only does that give us items for this time of the year, but they're here at the mission. And like most missions, we're open year-round. And so if extras come in, we can use them the rest of the year, whether it be underwear, socks, or hygiene items, or different, if shirts are left over, we can give somebody a shirt for his birthday or something like that. And it's just neat to see people that like to do that. And you have all those stories of families that have a brother or a son or a father who has had an addiction problem, and it touches their heart, and they know what that means to have someone like that and family who has been hurting so much. And so this is their way of just giving back feeling, because what we sometimes forget that the guys in these places, they're a father, they're a grandfather, they're an aunt, uncle, a brother, a husband. We forget that these aren't just people out in the street or they're homeless, but they're there, unfortunately, by some bad choices and some bad circumstances have come their way. And as I've been this now for 48 years, no surprises too much. A lot of regular things, sure, but at the same time, it's just surprising to what guys go through. If I'd have been in those circumstances, I wonder where I might have been. And
there, but for the grace of God?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Thankful for my family that brought me up and what we had there. But some people are raised in broken homes now, and they've had parents who have had problems also. And these fellows have inherited that, unfortunately. And we got some pretty sad stories of young men whose lives started out pretty rough at age 7, 8, and 10, 12, and had some problems at home, as well as older brothers who misguided them, and they've ended up suffering worse. Here at the mission, we've seen brothers come in. We've seen fathers and dads and sons come in. And it's not just a certain group of people anymore. It's across the board, from the neediest to the wrong side of the tracks to those on the right side of the tracks with income, a position. And the fellows here are not immune to it anymore. So we're seeing, as things have changed, we're seeing more families being hurt, even come from well-to-do families.
What's different about this year than a year ago?
Well, it's this year for here, we have seen less fellows, really. And the biggest thing that I'm seeing coming along is I think as many men coming in, but they're not staying. Our program is, we do emergency shelter, and some of those fellows come in for that emergency time, one a day or a week or something like that. But then they aren't ready to commit to a long-time, full-time recovery program. When our program here, it's It's 24/7 accountability, and that's what most of these fellows need, is discipline in their life. And for those that stay, that's what they appreciate. And after a fellow does stay here a while, we see he wants to stay on. Why? Because going back out into that world and perhaps back to old friends and old families, we have fellows here at Christmas time, I can't go home because I know what I'll be facing temptation there, and they choose not to go there. And so when a guy gets to that place where he's making those decisions, it's great to see that. But it's hard. It's hard, too. And we hurt for those people, those guys.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like at Christmas time?
Well, for us here, we usually run around 60 men that are here at the holiday time. And after the holidays, we usually see our numbers go up a little bit further. Sometimes some of those fellows that are having troubles at home or wherever, or jobs end, and after the holidays, we see an influx of more men there. But the fellows that are here, probably, and here again, we'll see what happens this year, but there's usually somebody will say, man, I haven't had a Christmas present in X amount of years. And it's neat to see, as we have our Christmas party here on New Year's Eve, or Christmas Eve, some will not open their gifts. They'll wait till Christmas Day. Some will, but in the last number of years, majority have wanted to wait until Christmas Day to open those presents. And it will not be uncommon to see a guy break down in tears that he's just amazed. Here at the Mission, we have our Walk a Mile in Our Shoes event in February. And this past year, I probably had six fellas said to me, I didn't know that Muncie cared so much, as they saw over 2,000 people walking down the street here in our walk. And these guys began to see that people care about them, because our program is, there's no government funding. It's all local support that keeps us going.
Pastor Ray Raines of the Muncie Mission. If you want to help, they're at MuncieMission.org. Next up, Santa shows up many places, and sometimes even with a toolbox.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Sometimes the spirit of the season has a distinctly practical side. The Fort Wayne Rescue Mission served dinner for more than 2,000 people this week. In Anderson, some generous auto repair shops thought about what they could do and ended up providing thousands of dollars in free work for people down on their luck. Mike Allmack of Allmack's All Care Automotive was one of six shops that pitched in. He's also the kind of guy who goes with his church to give candy to Madison County Jail inmates at Christmas. But cars are his business, and he knows how much reliable transportation means to people.
How did you decide on whom to help?
We run a half-page ad in the paper. People could nominate people in need. Then we went through those applications and tried to pick out the best one we felt that we could benefit the most. So our family was a single mom with two young girls at home, and she's going to school to try to get a better education to help her family. So she needed a car to get around, and she's trying to improve her life, and that's the person we was trying to help this year.
So what kind of car did you get in, and what did you have to do to it?
We had a 98 old Silhouette van, and I don't know where you got time for the list. We fixed coolant leaks, we fixed suspension, we fixed some brakes on it, some heater blower motors, a couple of tires, aligned it, a lot of little stuff, cosmetic things we did too.
What would that have cost if you had to bill the person for that?
Well, I'd probably, talking to most of the shops in my shop, probably most of these guys would have billed anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500 to fix these vehicles.
Because they just needed a lot of work.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of people need some of the things. I can go without a blower motor. I can put up with a coolant leak, and they just let things snowball until they get out of control. Then a lot of them can't afford it at that point to fix them.
Is this the person who's...
That's the person we picked, yes.
Can you read that without mentioning the names?
Yeah, she's a single mom. This was the person that nominated him.
Somebody's walking in right now. You have to do some work, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, let me stand out of the way while you... Do your job.
All right. Hey, we hate to bother you, Mike, but we need something off of that truck.
Okay, it's sitting right there. Help yourselves.
Thank you.
So this is...
This is written by the lady that nominated her. Says she's a great mom, has two girls, 16 and 11. She has had a hard time all of her life. She lost both their parents. Her mom died in 2008, her dad in 2001, and has no one to rely on except some church and friends and a few family members. She just recently moved out of a trailer court in Chesterfield to an apartment that was the move she really couldn't afford, but she's willing to make the sacrifices to do so. She and the girls had no furniture, so my friends and I got her a love seat, chair, and a bed, and they were sleeping on mattresses on the floor. She's taking courses at Ivy Tech to better herself so she can get a good job to help support herself and the girls, but right now she has very little income. Both the girls have health issues, but her van has a lot of no brake lights, a lot of different problems with the power steering, leaks, things like that that need to be repaired.
What was the car owner's reaction?
Well, she told me when she came in, we brought the car in to inspect it to see what all we had to do on it. And she says, after I hung up for him, she says, it took everything I could to keep from crying while I was talking to you. Then she says, I hung up and cried for about an hour. And, she was just real appreciative of, what she was going to get done. And it was going to be such a blessing to her to have a safe car for her and her girls.
That must have made your day.
Yeah, it did. I think it blessed Cheryl and my wife and I. And I think it did the guys that work for me, too, knowing that we was able to do something for somebody that just couldn't pay to do these things.
It can be expensive to repair cars.
The five other shops, I've heard their stories, things they did. They start out doing this and then end up doing three other things. And I know the other shops did a lot of things. One of the shop, Dave's Auto Service in town, did a lady's car. And she stood down there at the day and cried over, they fixed my door lock. She hadn't had door locks in 10 years.
And again, tell me about this van again.
It was a 98 old Silhouette van with about 200,000 miles on it. So it was just one of them, I can't afford to fix this, I'll wait. And then other things go wrong, and it gets out of control to where it makes it just about impossible for most families not to be able to afford to fix it.
And so it didn't have any brake lights, and you fixed, it was more than just changing bulbs, you put in circuit boards.
Yeah, those work off a circuit board assembly in them, and they were bad, so we replaced the taillight assemblies on it.
And you had an intake manifold gasket?
Yeah, that's
6-hour job.
Yeah, that's the top of the engine where the intake manifold sits on the engine. They're plastic gaskets, so over the years, old age, the plastic starts deteriorating, and then they start leaking oil or antifreeze into the oil and so on. So we repaired that for.
So when you do that much work on a car with 200,000 miles, that'll take care of her for a while, right?
Yeah, that's like I told her, if you keep this thing maintained from here on out, she'll be in pretty good shape. So
it cost you something. It cost you put up the money for the labor and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, we paid our employees to do that. And, and there's, like, we put a tank of gas in it, I don't think any of the six cars we fixed had gas in them. I think they were all empty. So each of the shop owners, talking to them, everybody had $75, $80 worth of gas in a vehicle. And, the neat thing about the group is nobody complained about what it was going to cost us. We were more interested in what we were doing for them. So the issue of us, our labor and things like that was never even an issue to any of six of us.
Now, sometimes churches or other groups will get involved and put together a food basket or something like that. You ever been involved in that kind of thing before?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll be at the county jail tonight with a church passing out candy to the inmates. So, yeah, it's a good time of year. I was out at the Salvation Army toy distribution and things for families today at lunchtime. And just to watch the amount of people in need this time of year. And I don't think it's this time of year anymore. I think it's 12 months out of the year. And to watch other people like the Toys for Tots. We collected Toys for Tots in our shops this year to give to the Marines. And we had 7 big boxes of toys that we presented to them last Saturday. So to see them toys going into the hands of other people today and the mothers and fathers getting stuff for their kids, and that was a blessing to see too.
Mike Almack, one of the six Anderson car repair shops who fixed up vehicles for folks down on their luck for this Christmas. Next up, the Muncie Mission and a story of pain, hope, and redemption.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
At the Muncie Mission, Christmas is a special chance to put out presents, serve the traditional meal, show the love that volunteers, the mission, and the community have for people who need a break of some kind. But Pastor Ray Raines, the executive director, says that for some of his residents, Christmas is also what he calls a hurting time. For some, their journey here started as youngsters.
I've had fellows tell me, he says, I started drinking when I was 6 years old. Where'd you get it? Underneath the kitchen sink, out of the refrigerator. In particular, I think of a young man, I start with that, but he was one of older siblings, and he started drinking the beer, was out available. But then the older one started using drugs, and at age 9, if I recall, is when he started having his first experimenting with drugs. So he comes to us at 31, two wives, couple kids. His life was just ruined from basically age 12 on. He just alcohol, drugs, and life was a mess. And his stay with us was about 9-10 months, as I recall. And he said that was the best 9 months of years. That's the cleanest he'd ever been in that lifetime. So I wish I could say that turned out good, but it didn't. He did well with us, but unfortunately, he wanted to go out and get a job, start taking care of those two boys that he had. Ended up using again. The place he worked in was not good, and he fell backwards there and ended up even worse than he was before. But at the same time, we have those stories that they do get things turned around and get things going again. But basically, you see the fellas starting to, that early age of drinking, smoking, and it just continues to get worse and worse. And especially, it seems, if your body begins to crave those things. And so what happens? 16, 17, perhaps quitting school, trying to go out, get a job, earning on your own there. Mom and dad get upset with you, or you turn 18 and you take off and you do it your own, and you go perhaps married, and that goes bad, and you end up running around with the guys that similar stories as yours, and they buddy up an apartment, and pretty soon somebody isn't carrying the load, and you're not putting in the money, you're eating all the food, and you're not bringing up, helping pay the rent, and they break up, and they go out somewhere and try that again, and then eventually end up no place, and they end up coming here. And so that's basically the way it goes with 2-3 jobs in a year, and starting in their 20s there. But then we really begin to hear the stories after 30. That's when we hear most parents calling us, because they've been supporting Johnny since through his 20s and not able to carry the load, having been paying for an apartment or a trailer for him somewhere, and they're tired of it, and what can we do? Well, it's, you know, they think they're doing good, but they're enabling, and they are having a hard time to do that tough love thing, to saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. And so we'll have parents bring their fellas in here, if they'll come and listen, but most of the time in their 30s, they aren't quite ready yet to do it. They aren't ready to commit to the program there. And so, but when they reach their 40s, and the we've seen here, I've been here for 28 years, and I see guys coming back to us, and we've said to them, if you'd only listened to us that first time, if you listen, now you've missed 10, 15 more years of your life, and here you are in your 40s, and you're ready to start over again. But they realize nothing to show for it, and they've tried and tried and tried. If they could have quit, they would have, but they can't do it themselves. They need extra help, and so with the mission supports, and we direct them for the Lord, we hope that they'll find something new to commit to and follow.
Ray says people at the shelter can get very emotional this time of year.
They think of their kids or their grandkids that they're not able to go see for whatever reason. Nobody plans on coming to a mission. It's not in your goal to end up there. But yet, due to circumstances, you end up here, and you have no bed, you have no job, you have no apartment, and you're struggling. And your average age usually runs in the low 40s. And so you begin to think seriously, what am I doing wrong? What's going on? What should I do? And brings them to the mission. And here's an opportunity for us to share it to them about the Lord and his kindness and care for them. And we just become his voice, his hands, his feet, and so on. I said, a fellow here right now who has been to several missions, apparently. I don't know just how many, but he said, I've never seen such a clean, neat place, as I've never seen such kindness. So having an impression on him already. We try to be a little bit unique, but yet it's just common everyday stuff that we do, and taking time to give these guys some time. We try to do the Christmas program for them. Not exactly Christmas Day, but it's the afternoon or evening before we do Christmas for the fellas that's close to the holiday, not a week ahead, but our staff stays and we try to give some really personal attention and consideration for them as close as we can to the Christmas time that share our personal life with them.
Is that a time when you can reach people sometimes in a way that you might not be able to other times of the year?
I believe the guys are more sensitive to listening to that they are a little bit more humbled and broken, that if there's a little bit of softness there, it's certainly that's the time that we need to be ready to step in and share a word or love of compassion or something. And so we don't need to busy ourselves. We try to take the time. I mean, it's busy around here. It's crazy. But at the same time, being ready to give that listening ear. And I think all of our staff here are ready to give that attention to them because it's another year and perhaps we'll never see this guy again. We had a fellow recently who was here and his funeral is being planned right now. And he left and unfortunately in not good standing. He was breaking the rules and doing everything else and end up out and overdosed apparently. So we are quite aware that perhaps some of these fellows we will never see again. So we try to make the most of this opportunity, this Christmas season, to share the love of God with them.
One thing we read about is the growing influence of drugs like methamphetamine. Is that something that you end up seeing here?
Not aware of it too much, but certainly we've had guys referred to it, and our fellows certainly touch all kinds of drugs and so forth. I'll have time and time again, you hear the announcements on TV about, about marijuana being legalized. Well, I have guys come over to tell you, says, oh, that's the worst thing we do. That's where I started, They started out with that very simple thing, what seems so innocent in a way. But one thing leads to another, and ends up destroying them.
Change shall he break for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
The Reverend Ray Raines, Executive Director of the Muncie Mission. As you might imagine, they're always looking for support and volunteers. You can reach them at muncymission.org. By the way, I hope you got from these folks today what I did, that just as they said in so many sermons across the land this week, this is the season of hope. We tend to take that hope wherever we can find it. It might be a message from the pulpit, or as the old saying goes, a good example is the best sermon. We might find hope in the good works and example of others. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop us a note with your own story of hope or thoughts about the season at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.